More is You and Magic's Indulgence Podcast. A little indulgence wherever you are. With More Than, the insurer that does more.
So it's Magic 105.4. It's a pleasure to welcome at last into the studio here for an indulgence, Colin Firth. Welcome.
Hello.
Well, listen, we're going to start with the first of your choices. You've looked through our playlist. I know it's a particular favourite of yours, this one. Lionel Richie, I think, in Easy.
Yeah, I think it was one of... I was a terrible snob about music in the 70s, and I was one of these people who got kind of... I suddenly got the rug pulled from under me quite badly by the arrival of punk, because my snobbery was all prog and, I don't know, it might be experimental jazz, and there would be things... It had to be stuff nobody else had heard of. You know, at the time, you know, Kevin Nair's Robert Wyatt, Soft Machine, Canterbury Scene, sort of... And it made me feel very important and special that everyone else was listening to Motown and, you know, or the Slade. And then suddenly I was spectacularly uncool, because all that other stuff was much more cool. And actually, if you look back on the 70s now, that's the stuff that people do remember, and I wasn't really a part of it. And it's funny how the stuff that I look down on, when I'm talking about being 14 or 15 here, is now revered. And I think that something like Easy was one of the first popular, you know, pop soul ballads that I found acceptable, because I just thought it was such a good song, and such a Lionel Richie's such a beautiful voice, that it was one of the first that kind of broke down that you know, terrible elitism, and where I just sort of put my hand up to liking what everyone else liked.
We've got a bit of a resurgence now. So let's hear it. This is Lionel Richie on Magic. Cool. Lionel Richie with Easy on Magic 105.4. It's the Sunday Night Indulgence. I'm joined by Colin Firth, starring in a new movie, Genova.
Yes. Genova is... I was shooting at the same time as Mamma Mia, which was surreal, because one is... Well, you know what Mamma Mia looks like and sounds like. This doesn't have any music or spandex or, mercifully, any dancing from me or singing. And it's to do with a family who are grieving after the loss of the mother in a car accident at the beginning. Beautifully shot with natural light in Geneva, with kind of wonderful, rather intimate, disembodied kind of piano score. And I think quietly has a very powerful... kind of emotional impact on people, and I'm rather infatuated with it.
It's a little bit of a change for you, really, because normally I associate you with comedy films.
I do other stuff, but no one ever sees it. I mean, everyone associates me with comedy films, because those are the ones that have tended to become successful, and it's odd that it's worked out that way, really, because I remember reaching the age of 30-something thinking, I wonder if anyone ever will ask me to do a comedy. And, you know, big turn of events, you know, here I'm probably more associated with, you know, the Britcom than I am with anything else.
And this is a Film 4 film as well, mm-hmm. Who had huge success at the Oscars recently. How important do you think Film 4 are now in the British film industry?
Well, I think, you know, anything that is, you know, being born out of a flourishing English, you know, filmmaking establishment, I think is valuable, and we're using our own resources and our own talent. I think it's very important, but I don't think it can survive without interaction from other places. And I think that the arts don't recognise national boundaries, really, and I think that's what strengthens them on the whole. I would hate it if, you know, we banned all foreign piano players and didn't allow any foreigners into our film sets. I can't remember a film I've done without an American actress in it, often playing an English girl. And I welcome it. I think it creates a very, very beneficial interaction, and it means that I'm free to go to other places and play people from other countries. And so I'm afraid I'm not terribly patriotic in that way. Or rather, I am. But I think that the best way to support our own industry, or my own industry, is to make it a collective business, really. I think it should be international.
What's your view on stuff like the Oscars and you know, the Golden Globes and the BAFTAs? Are you sort of a big one for the award ceremonies, or are you just like, well...
I'd be a big one for receiving them. I think, you know, in a year when I'm not being nominated for anything, which is quite a few of them, I think they're a terrible idea. If I happen to be holding a statue, I think they're a very, very good idea indeed. I think they probably... it's very interesting how much attention they seem to be getting. I don't know if it's just me, but I think there seems to be a bigger focus on the Oscars this year than there has been for quite some time. I'm seeing front pages of magazines covering them. I'm seeing endless discussion on all sorts of programs. Perhaps programs that wouldn't normally dwell on it. And it may be because of the British factor, you know, which is again there this year. But I also wonder if it's the recession factor has something to do with it. That, you know, it's that Fred and Ginger syndrome, you know, during the Depression, that people take refuge in a bit of escapist glitz. And you know, while every single headline is a renewed forecast of doom, that actually a bit of argument over whether people are making fashion faux pas or, you know, embarrassing speeches is a welcome distraction.
Light relief, yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, we talked earlier about you filming this in Italy. I mean, you obviously get to travel so much with your job.
Yeah.
And you did this at the same time as Mamma Mia, so you were filming in Greece at the same time.
And Pinewood, actually, mostly. But, yeah, there's a lot of travel involved. If I'm lucky, it'll be places like, you know, the Mediterranean beach. And if I'm unlucky, I'm not going to offend anybody here, but I mean, it's some very, very grim locations as well.
Where's the worst?
I'm not going to say. I've gotten in trouble over this before. But there are some places that are pretty hard to spend 3 months in. And I was in places where the food was spectacular, the weather was gorgeous, and the people were wonderful. And it was, you know... It was a dream summer, really.
Now, we talked earlier on about, you know, choosing some of your song choices. One of them that you've gone for is actually Queen.
You made me go for it.
Why have you gone for Queen, though?
Well, no, because my kids have fallen in love with it. And I always thought I hated them. You know, I've had a few shocks recently about 70s music coming back to haunt me and making me realise I didn't dislike it as much as I thought. And... I didn't. I thought I hated them. I thought they were dreadful. And I've rediscovered them through my children just because of in watching them watch it with very... I mean, I'm talking 5 years old and 7 years old here. Just realising that I'm encouraging them to watch brilliant musicianship. You know, I want them to play instruments and they're beginning to enjoy playing instruments. And to see people playing instruments brilliantly, which you can't argue in terms of, you know, and to see the theatrics and see how compelling it is and see the song craft of it, it's made me appreciate them sort of 40 years too late or whatever. But it's kind of woken me up to something that's sort of been there, rather like ABBA. It's been there whether you like it or not. It's a feature of your life. I mean, these songs will keep coming and going. And I always knew they were talented. But I've started to take pleasure in them, really, and I don't know which song I've picked.
Which one do you want? Don't stop me now.
I think that's the perfect choice.
Magic 105.4, it's The Indulgence. We were talking earlier about you finding it important that your children pick up music. Because you actually play yourself, don't you? You play the guitar.
After a fashion.
Oh, come on, you're being modest now.
Well, no, I mean, I do. I've it's a hobby, yeah. Yeah, I do enjoy. I mean, I can sit holding one for hours.
Were you never in a band?
Yeah, I sort of was. Yes.
God,
a long time ago. My memory's gone. I can't. I just. It's not a. It's all over. Disappeared in the mists of, you know.
There was no
dementia.
There was no spandex. You know, like in.
No. I mean, you know, going back to the snobbery I was talking about before, it was definitely the the low production value version of. You know, there was very, very low presentation. It was the torn T-shirt brigade. It wasn't the spandex thing.
So Colin Firth's with us. What's up next for you? Because I read that you've got Christmas Carol. You're going to go 3D.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, I was just wearing heavy sort of manhood-cancelling spandex and a funny helmet with cameras pointing at me and dots all over my face. So I don't know what it's all going to look like. It's that technology that you saw for Polar Express and Beowulf, which has been taken further, apparently, in terms of its state-of-the-art achievement. I've got a smallish part in it. If you remember Christmas Carol, everyone remembers Christmas Carol, everyone remembers The Ghost of Christmas Past, Present, Future, everyone remembers Bob Cratchit, Tiny Tim, Scrooge. I'm playing Fred. That's the one that nobody remembers. But that's my part, and I've got one, two scenes in it.
Well, listen, I wish you all the best with Genova, which is out at the moment. It is, you're right, it's beautifully set. Mm. And you know, fantastic acting right the way through it as well.
Thank you.
Especially like Willa as well.
Yeah, she's wonderful, I know.
Brilliant young actress.
Yeah.
Thank you ever so much for joining us on Magic.
Thank you very much.
Indulgence on Magic 105.4 with More Than. Doing more by carrying colour doodles on board our breakdown trucks to help keep your children smiling. You can download this interview in full at magic.co.uk/podcasts.